Hondo, when we left off yesterday, you mentioned a little bit about some of the aid you could potentially get from the Corners Association. And that's something I kind of, you know, I heard it, I understood it, and a lot of people don't. And that's something I took for granted when I come into office, that there are associations and other membership to boards and things that it's advantageous for our elected officials to be involved with. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, there's no requirement in most instances that I be a part of the Judges Association or attend their conferences or anything, but the network and the possibilities and the things that you gain from that is putting yourself in a better position to serve Powell County and expand your knowledge. So you might speak to, you know, I commend you for going, because there's a lot of people that take elected position, do the very minimal it takes to exist in that office. But in attending these meetings, conferences, or being an active member of your association, put you in a different light. So kind of what you mentioned, some of them, what else have you gained from like the Corners Association that you think enabled you to be a better corner?
Well, the thing that's so beneficial is, and I'll just give an example. Last week there was an automobile accident on the Mountain Parkway, and there were multiple fatalities. And so I show up on the scene and my phone rings. And I answer, and it's John Northcutt from Round County. He says, I see that you all have got multiple fatalities in there. If you need me, you call me. So 15 minutes later, I get another phone call, Robert Gayhart from Clark County. He's a Clark County corner there. He called, and I see you all have multiple fatalities there at this accident. If you need help, please don't hesitate to give me a call. And that community relationship among different corners of if you get in a bind, and having that networking through going through continuing education that you're required to do, or through the association, the Corners Association, is worth a lot whenever you need help, because these men are very, very kind with their time. Just looking to mentor and help you, and which, especially when you're 29 years old and going into the coroner's office, you need all the help you can get. I can remember going to visit Robert Gayhart in Clark County and sitting down with him and him talking through his style of doing an investigation. I can remember going to Round County to talk with John Northcutt, which is the coroner there, about the way that he does his investigation, documenting the coroner's reports, how they're done. Which started me off on a very good foot because of the fact of my youth that was involved, and just general lack of knowledge with the office. And then being able to contact your association, contacting the medical examiner's office to say, this is the circumstances that are going on. What would you do in this case? Give me your advice. And that's worth a lot. That network of people that have walked before you, that you can ask questions about, is worth a lot.
It is, and I kind of had the same experience. Like you said, we're still relatively young and inexperienced in regards to, you know, a lot of our peers that have been in office a lot longer. And a lot of times, if you're looking to do something or have an ideal, it's not always reinventing the wheel. There's usually somebody out there that's done what you're trying to do, or at least similar to it. And like you said, you can accelerate what you're trying to do by pulling on those resources. And that's as much a part of, I think, being a good elected official, is not only just trying to conduct your office, but to educate yourself and always expand your knowledge and grow yourself to be a better, you can always be a better elected official. So I'm glad. I think at this time, most of our elected officials are on that kind of wavelength, and it's benefiting Powell County.
Yeah.
One other thing we kind of alluded to, Hondo, in your time in office, naturally with anything, there's a transitions or time of change, and sometimes it's accelerated. But I would imagine that from the time you was elected to now, the kind of the cases you're working have changed a lot. I'm just kind of speaking especially to the drug deal. I mean, naturally, during that period of time, it's kind of really evolved into a real problem. And has that changed how you function or what you have to deal with on a daily basis significantly?
Well, with investigating a drug-related death, the way that is done is we're going to be doing toxicology. Now, toxicology is going to be drawn from three locations, one being some vessel to be able to draw blood, either it be directly from the heart, from the carotid artery, or wherever you're able to get a good sample of blood, and then also from the viscera of the eye and from the bladder. And you take those three samples, and it's going to tell you exactly what's type of drugs are in that person's system. Those are forwarded to a laboratory in Indianapolis where those are processed for us and then sent back. So in drug-related deaths, that's really what the crux of what your investigation is around this toxicology report, which is very, very accurate. It will tell you not only what drugs are present, but the power and strength of those. If there's a cocktail of different drugs, you can research on how those react with one another, and you can get a very clear picture of what type of drugs are responsible for that person's passing. Now, with that said, a lot of people are under the impression that we have a tremendous heroin epidemic, which we may. That may be the case, but in the 7 years that I've functioned as the coroner of Powell County, I've only investigated one heroin fatality or death caused by heroin, which was pretty remarkable. With that said, most of the drug-related deaths that I investigate are from prescription drugs, mostly hydrocodone, oxycodone, pain narcotics such as that cause the drug-related deaths.
Hondo, and I know you can't probably get very specific, but in relation, you're saying that it's mostly what you're still dealing with is prescription deaths. Is it typically people that are prescribed that, or is it people that's got those prescribed medications that aren't necessarily theirs? Is there a trend there? Can you speak to that, or does that?
Well, that's a really good question. Sometimes it can be the case that the person's prescribed those medications, and sometimes they're actually purchasing these from other people that are prescribed them. Once the bottle is filled, so to speak, with whatever narcotic it is, that can turn into a currency very quickly to be able to sell that, to make money from that. And then, of course, they end up in places where they're not supposed to be. I find a lot of times when you come on these death scenes that if there's other people that know that the person has passed away or that were knew of the circumstances that caused their death, those drugs are not on the scene anymore. They're gone.
Yeah. And I guess that's kind of something I was thinking about, too, is in relation to more often than not, I would suppose, when it's potentially a drug overdose or death, it almost a lot of times it probably equates to some kind of crime scene or potential crime scene. So it vastly compounds that scene, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's you've got the question. Well, is this medication prescribed, like you allude to a moment ago? Is this person prescribed this? We'll give an example: hydrocodone. So I would need to, for one, if there's no bottle found, I would need to find out what doctor they saw to see if that doctor prescribed them that. If they were not prescribed that, they've got that narcotic from somewhere. Well, where does that come from? So that's kind of the way that you need to find out, well, is this medicine their medicine they're taking? If not, whose is it? How did they get it? Where they sold it? So and a lot of times those questions can't be answered. And you're working with law enforcement on that end of the investigation. My job would be to determine what type of drugs are in their system, and then I pass that information on to law enforcement. This is what they have, and we'll give an example of whether they're not prescribed that. So it had to come from somewhere, and they'll do the legwork or the investigation of trying to find out where that come from.
I think one thing beyond the tragedy of, you know, individuals that are losing their life or been addicted to these drugs, this is kind of, I think there's hardly been an office that we've talked to that some way has not been negatively impacted by the drug epidemic. And in their end, our taxpayers are tasked with the extra cost or burdens in the end. And that's why I said this kind of speaks to the same thing with yours. Not only is it probably increased your workload, but the time that's consumed by this. So it just keeps draining resources off of ever department almost beyond the damage it's doing to these individuals or these families that are impacted. So it's definitely a problem that's unfortunately looks like it's going to continue to get worse and further burden our society.
Yeah, the statistics, if we want to talk about localities, the statistics, of course, Kentucky has been ranked among the highest of drug-related deaths in the nation. And then in a landmark study, which I helped take part in, that was performed in 2015, Powell County has been noted as being one of the highest ranking per. And the way that they would do this, if you draw 100 citizens from each county, it's on just a general population sample, Powell County would have one of the highest ranking amounts of death out of those 100 people in the state of Kentucky. So you take not only the state situation, but then you put it down in a county situation. We're quite literally one of the worst counties in the nation when it comes to drug-related deaths. And we were talking about this while we were off the air, that I was contacted by a journalist from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was doing a article on their drug issue there, and he was doing research on where's some of the worst drug-related death totals in the nation. And he gives me a call and asks, you know, I've done this research, Powell County is among the highest, what's going on down there or up there from where he's at? So that's something that you don't want to be known for, but you know, facts are stubborn things.
Yeah, and that's, of course, like I said off there, also we talked, you know, in the last month there's been a study showing us, I think, in the top 10 far as decreased life expectancy. Also, not directly related, well, it is directly related, but if you look at the potential for HIV breakouts and things, you know, we're listed as very high in those things. And that's why I said those are all related to drugs. And I guess that's one of the very frustrating things, like I said, beyond the damage it's doing directly to those people. You know, in my position where we're trying to do economic development and have been pretty successful, but it definitely, these kind of things make it more difficult when you, like you said, the perception of these problems, it undersells all the good. And so I think we as a community, and fortunately, I think in a lot of regards, we are probably for our size and where we're at more proactive in, you know, we've talked to the Janelle Brewers and the drug courts. So we are doing some things, the needle exchange, those things to try to get ahead of this. But we've got to answer the question, why are we the worst? And we've got to do whatever we can to change that. Because like I said, regardless if you have sympathy or not for the person choosing or to use those drugs, it impacts us all, whether directly or indirectly, like I said, far as trying to bring economic growth. So it impacts us all. And so regardless of how isolated you think you are from drug epidemic, that's not the case. It affects each and every one of us one way or the other. And I think we as a community have got to view that and work as a community to come out of this problem.
Yeah, I know you're working hard as the judge to try to market us to producers. If producers come and locate in Powell County, they offer jobs. But of course, those producers have to have people to fill those jobs. And where would, as a judge, when you're trying to market to this producer or a manufacturer, and you bring these totals out where we've got one of the highest drug-related deaths rankings in the nation. We have some of the highest numbers of welfare in the state. When you put those totals out, they have to question, well, where are we going to draw a workforce from? Where are we going to? And that's why it makes it so hard. And I admire you for the work you're doing, because it's an uphill climb when you're dealing with statistics such as these.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. You know, that's what I said. It takes us as a community. I don't directly have some of the impacts that could hopefully impact them. In my capacity, I'll do anything I can to combat them. I think somebody's asked me in my role, what's one of the biggest things I can do to combat the epidemic? And I think I've said this on numerous things. I think myself as judge, and that's me being with the industrial authority, whatever, is actually try to change our economy is one of the biggest impacts. Not that, and I think you're really seeing now, you know, drugs are not necessarily held to just poverty-stricken areas or not, but if you look, typically that's where they're the worst at. And so if we can continue to add jobs at the rate we have and turn our economy around, give people hope, it not only gives them hope, opportunities, but also usually with a wealthier society or a community, also other avenues out as far as rehab centers, those kind of things.